So why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Proverbs 31. And the Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law. Pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all that such are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we look into this passage and talk about the virtuous woman, that we'll be reminded of the females that you have put into our lives, and that I pray that every woman here is a virtuous woman. And if not, then have a heart for the desire to be. Lord, houses of God, a church building is a great place to examine ourselves, man or woman, boy or girl, and just see how we do in line with the Word of God. I pray that as we look into this text, it would be a practical application today for us to leave better than we came. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Proverbs 31 is a passage that the king wrote testifying of the things that his mother taught him. How many ever learned anything from their mom? Huh? Did your mother ever teach you anything? Have you ever heard that? Have I ever taught you anything? The things his mother taught him. The things his mother taught him. Say that with me. The things his mother taught him. Now, we're going to spend just a couple of minutes on the first nine verses. The rest of the text is from 10 on, where we're really at this morning. But I think it's interesting to go ahead and look at every part that is touched on here so we recognize what mom wanted him to know. Now, the first nine verses, number one is verse number 3, watch out for women. And all the men said, amen. There you go. Yes. Now, women can destroy you. That's what he's telling. It's what she's telling her boy. Watch out for women. They can destroy you. Samson had Delilah. Ahab had Jezebel. I'll tell you. Now, I know that we're raised that women are innocent and they're kind and they're beautiful and sugar and spice and everything nice and all those things. And I can see ladies nodding. Absolutely. But you know what? There's some women that are poison, and mom was warning her son, watch out for them because they're out there. It's a fact. Number two, my voice broke. Number two, verse 4, alcohol will mess with your mind and keep you from doing right. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I hate alcohol. It destroys homes and families. Casual drinking in the church has no place whatsoever. Why would you give one dime of God's money to an industry that destroys everything? There's no excuse for that. And they go on and talk about back in the day when this passage is written, they do say go on and drink it. Yes, if you're dying. There was no morphine back then. For medicinal purposes. Paul said to Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach's sake as a medicine, but not so that you feel better at the end of the day. You need something to help you cool off. If you need something to help you cool off, take a shower. But you don't need that stuff. And obviously the Bible warns against it. She said, son, watch out for alcohol. Alcohol hates monogamy. It hates morals. It hates anything you stand for. And so many times in talking to people and finding out when they're, if you will, bearing their soul to me as the pastor, they will confess that with alcohol they made some choices they would never have made before. That's the way it is. Beware, mom said. And then verses 8 through 9 says, stand up for those that can't stand for themselves. Now, boy, we believe in that. You know, there's times where you see in the papers where some incident is going on and people are standing around and nobody jumps in to help. Hate that. Stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. And then, after having said those things right there, the rest of the chapter, 10 to 31, talks about how mom wants the boy to find a virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, obviously the term there is, I want you to find a good wife, a virtuous wife. And then she goes on and she builds the case for how great it would be if you had the right woman in your life. And let me tell you what she can do. So number one, they are rare. Who can find? They're to be sought for. They don't just land there. You look around. There's a process that goes on. We don't live in a society that has arranged marriages, although the argument can be made. It seems like in those societies it seems to work better than the process that we have. But the reality of it is in America, if a man wants to be married, he goes into the dating or the courting process, and all of that goes on is that it's not, there's a good chance that it won't be the first one you meet or the second one. There's a chance you're going to have to be careful in the selection process, and that's why you keep yourself pure and you watch out for what you're doing, because poor choices lead to more poor choices and you end up with a trail of baggage and carnage behind you that God's not in. So, but it's a good woman, a godly woman, is a rare find. Who can find one? But they're out there. And obviously we know that to be true. Not only are they rare, they're resourceful. Wonder Woman could only wish to have the abilities that this woman has in Proverbs 31. It is amazing as I go down through this list, if it doesn't depress you as a woman, it ought to. Now, here we go. And I know it's so easy as a guy to preach on this. I love this text. All right, here we go. I'm going to go down. I've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N. I've got 14 things, lists here, and I'll give you the verses for them. We'll go down through them very quickly. Number one, verse 13, she buys and sells. She's a merchant. Verse 14, she's an expert in shipping. Verse 15, she's up before dawn preparing meals, like running a bakery. Verse 16, she's a real estate agent and is a vineyard owner. Verse 17, she's physically fit, probably teaches aerobics on the side. Verse 18, she stays up late managing assets. She's a CEO. Verse 19, she makes all her own clothes and helps the poor and needy. Verse 21, cold doesn't bother her because she knows her family is well-dressed from the clothes that she has made. Verse 23, she brings recognition to her husband for being married to her. I just want to stop for a second and say that obviously I was listening to sports radio and they're talking about the fame of Tom Brady and his wife Gisele Bündchen. Now obviously, as a sportsman, I really know very little about his wife. I follow Tom Brady, who would never cheat in anything that he does. But I just wanted to throw that out there. But anyway, here we are. And I know Tom Brady, but they tell me, outside of our circle, outside of the United States, Gisele is much more famous worldwide than Tom Brady is. So really, for the most part, we look at Tom and we say, you know, he's married to a supermodel. But really, most of the world is looking at Gisele and saying she's married to a football player, because they know her more than him. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, there is a chance that men are recognized in some circles, not just for who they are, but for the woman that they married. You know, I believe that. Ladies, you can add to or detract from the man you're walking around with. A godly woman adds to his reputation. Verse number 24, she manufactures goods to sell in the market. She's in manufacturing. Verse 25, she carries herself with dignity. You notice her when she walks in a room. Verse 26, she is the source of wisdom and kindness in her speech. In verse 27, she looks out for her family and doesn't sit around on the couch. So she's a merchant, expert shipper, runs a bakery, vineyard owner, real estate agent, CEO, a clothier, a manufacturer, known for who she is. Walks with dignity. And I think at night she puts on a mask and goes downtown and cleans up criminals. Now, obviously, you look at this and you say, and I've talked to other women as we've mused about this passage, and you have to say, are you kidding me? This person does not exist. And Lori and I used to laugh about this and say, but you know, obviously, I think I can make the case that this person does exist. Obviously, not everyone has these qualities. But we're going to see if you will, what the internals are of a person like this. And if you ever read a survey or something, a Barna will come out with a report or Pew will do something and they'll come out with statistics. And then you've got to find out why did they ask what question? How did they come up with this? And then there's the internals of the statistics to find out how they really came to this answer. And what we can do is we can examine the virtuous woman this morning and see what she has made up from our passage and find out how a person can really be this kind of person. And I think I can make the case this morning. It starts out, we're going to have to work backward in our text rather than going forward. We're going to jump down to verse number 30. And number one, she is a woman of faith. Say that with me. She is a woman of faith. Verse number 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. The term fear of the Lord is used 30 times in the Bible, and it has to do with reverential trust. Psalm 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 34:11 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now, when we hear about the fear of the Lord, in today's terminology, you would think, obviously, they're scared of God. We are not scared of God. The term is dealing with the reverential trust, the, if you will, the awesomeness of God. When we think of God, if you're thinking of him, you're somebody or something of yours, you're not thinking of the God that I serve. There's an awesomeness that goes on when we think about who God is. The reverential trust of God could be put into the verses I read in, rather than the fear of the Lord. For instance, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the reverential trust of God. The reverential trust of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So if you want wisdom, wisdom starts out with fearing the Lord, the reverential trust, the awe of the Lord. The decisions that I make, the things that I do, right or wrong, there's a God in heaven that's watching and I should be concerned about what he thinks. Does that make sense? That's the reverential trust of God. She's a woman of faith. She's not scared of him. She just wants to revere him. Not only is she a woman of faith, she is faithful. Look at verse number 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. Verse number 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's one that can be counted on. She's faithful. Faithful to her husband, family, friends, those in need. She could be counted on in times of trouble. She's a steadying influence. You're in chapter 30 of Proverbs. We're not going to leave the book of Proverbs, but as we talk about the steadying influence, I want to bring out something that is extremely important that I believe that is the what a woman is. I think back of the women that I've been around in my life in 53 years, going back to my grandmothers and obviously my mom. I'm going to state the case to you that I think the most powerful thing a woman has is not her wiles, her looks, her strength, her cooking ability. I think the most powerful thing a woman has are her words. Okay? And I want to show that to you in Proverbs chapter 18. If you go back in verse number 21, ladies, what you say to your husband, what you say to the kids, the words that you speak to them determine how they feel about themselves. Because whether men will ever admit it or not, we want a female's approval. That's a fact. Now you can say, oh, how can, you know, we don't really, we care, okay? And guys can cut other guys down. We don't care what guys think. I'm just being transparent here. We care what the females in our lives think. Guys, we can cut them and see you later. You know, I've had enough of you. But the women in our life are extremely important to us. And I can't be more honest with you about that. The things you say to us matter. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can add life and meaning, or you can add death and cursing by the things that you say. Now, anyone can do this. Anyone can. But boy, there's something about the words that mom is speaking, about how she feels about you, what she thinks of you, whether you're going to amount to something or not. I can hear my mother's words echoing to me, and they weren't always good words, you know? But a lot of times they were. I can, you know, I won't repeat some of the things. Proverbs chapter 12, go back a little bit further. I want you to see verse 18, Proverbs chapter 12. There is that that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, words can cut. Words can cut. Say that with me. Words can cut. We grew up, obviously, our parents wanted us to be tough. We'd come home from school and say, so-and-so said this to me. And they'd look at us and say, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. And you know what? That's a great thing to teach your kids, because obviously we need them to be mentally tough. But the reality of it is, words do hurt. Amen. You know? And sad to say, in a society that's going to hell in a handbasket and throwing God out of it, and bullying is running rampant because we've failed to teach our young people that we're supposed to treat others as we want to be treated. And all of the golden rules that we can't quote anymore because they're based in Bible. And we wonder why our kids are suicidal. Because words matter. And they want to be loved and cared for and appreciated. And that comes from the home through the Word of God. And when that's not happening, your kids have nothing to live for. And I'm telling you, we need to be standing up and telling our young people how important they are. And when they're bad, we need to tell them so. But when they're good, they need to be praised for it. Give them a hug once in a while. Tell them they mean the world to us. Because the reality of it is, as a parent, there isn't anything we wouldn't do for our kids. I wonder if they know that. I hope they do. Words can cut, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. What you say is so important. She's a woman of faith. She is faithful. The king said, find yourself a virtuous woman. Find yourself a good wife. They're rare. They're resourceful. They have faith. They'll be faithful. Not only is she a woman of faith and she's faithful, she's a woman of friends. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's a woman of friends. You're known by the company you keep. I tell you what, if I watch a crowd walking around, I don't care if it's downtown or here in church. You associate with people you like. And if you don't think you're like them, you will be after a while. There's a saying out there, how's it go? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I don't know who said that, but I agree with it. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You hang out with a bunch of convicts, you'll be one. There was kids, well, I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, my parents wanted to know who I was with. And we didn't hang out at the mall. Now there's, you can hang out on Facebook and the internet and the media and be around kids you never should be around. And you know what? Texting influences people. Though there's no physical presence. You watch out who your kids are texting. Every now and then grab their device. If they don't want you to have it, grab it and smash it. I'm not kidding. You're in charge. The inmates don't run the asylum. Let them know. You probably paid for that thing anyway. You say, well, I got a job. If your parents hadn't allowed you to get a job to earn the money, you still wouldn't have it. They don't like your rules, fine. Save me some money. Go live somewhere else. Now you can say, oh, that's not friendly. My kids might not like me. Chances are if you're living like that and they're running the roost, they don't like you anyway. I know you didn't come to hear this stuff. But I'll tell you what, friends matter. You're known for the company you keep. Who do you spend time with? Mom, who are you talking to on the phone? Used to be, women would spend a lot of time on the phone. I think phones are antiques now. Everybody's gone to a different style of communication. But the reality of it is your kids know who you're talking to. They hear your language. They hear the stories you're telling. Those are the people you're hanging out with. Sometimes, because you love someone, you need to cut some ties. Sometimes some examination needs to be taken on your friends. You can say, well, you know, I think I'm helping so-and-so. It's easier to be pulled down than to be picked up. Now, I know the power of God can allow us to do wonderful things and pull up some people that are down, but I'll tell you what, chances are if a relationship's gone on long enough and change hasn't happened, the change could be happening, and it could be to you and not in a good way. Watch out for the friends that you have. She was a woman of friends, and obviously they were good friends. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, I know you can't always have rave reviews. People can be critical. But, you know, and one thing we make great mistakes on, and I have to be careful how I say this because I will be misunderstood. But every now and then you have to sit back and wonder or find out or see what people are saying about you and honestly assess whether they're right or wrong. Because your testimony matters. How you conduct yourself matters. Her children rise up and call her blessed. What are the kids saying about you, Mom? Her children rise up and call her. Now listen, I understand not everyone is going to get a 10 on a 10. It's not possible. But I'll tell you what, there are times in life where we need to look back, and if some things need to be ironed out, they need to be ironed out. Sad to say, there are parents and kids that no longer communicate. I know this is a touchy subject, but I'll tell you what, if that's what's going on, something is not right. That has to be dealt with. If they don't want to talk to you, you can talk to them and say, listen, I'm here, I'm sorry, I'm your mom. We'll never stand over their grave and say, there, I'm so glad I didn't speak to you. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. On the other hand, if attempts were made and you know before God you've done everything you can, then your conscience is clear. But usually when communication is not taking place, usually it's because two people are being pigheaded, not just one. This will be my last message here at Cornerstone. Proverbs 31:29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's incredible. What a review. You beat them all, kiddo. Huh. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She looks forward to the future. Looking forward to the future. God's in control. Amen. Say that with me. God's in control. One more time, God's in control. That takes care of the future. You know, I am confused about what's going on at times. You just think, you know, what is happening? But I always walk away from all of those conversations reminding myself that God's still on the throne. He's got it under control. He's working his plan. Mom, you think these kids will never amount to anything? They will. They'll be fine. You know, you worry about the future. That's normal, but God's in control. She looks forward to the future. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. As the older I get, the softer I've become. I hate that. I want to be old and bitter. So, I've got five women in my life, more really, but yeah, okay. Before I get... Obviously, my mom made me feel like I had tremendous value. Some parents are guilty of saying, I can't wait till these kids or school starts again, or till they're old enough to get out of the house, or why don't you guys just get outside and give me some time to myself? Be careful about saying stuff like that. Yeah, I've told the story before, and you're tired of hearing it. But we were at the old A&P, showing my age, down where the courthouse used to be. The courthouse has since moved, but we're going way back. The cashier back then, there was no scanners back then. She's typing like crazy, processing all the things. And she said, and I'm standing there next to her and says, "School must be starting pretty soon. You must be excited." And Mom looked at her and says, "Oh, no, I don't ever want my kids to go to school. I want them to stay with me." I'll tell you what, right there, I had value. My first wife, Lori, and this is where I've warned that I'm getting softer, but she made me feel like I could do anything, you know? And the things that she said just made me feel like I could do anything. It was a gift. And I attempted a lot of things I couldn't do, but she never pointed that out, ever. And then I have my present wife who walked into an impossible situation. Just unbelievable. The older I get looking back on it, we were talking about it yesterday, just briefly. Two kids and a guy that adored his wife, and then God takes that out of the equation, and you're crazy enough to walk into that. And we were talking about, so we've got some couples getting married in this church this summer, and we're excited, and it's great. And I mean, I can't emphasize enough how great it is to get married and never have to drop your bride, your fiance off at the door anymore. You get to take her home and ruin her life. You know, it is the greatest thing, you know? But you know, Emily didn't get to have that. She came home to a home that was broken and hurting, and it was awful. You know, and it's an incredible thing that she did. Absolutely incredible. And then I got two girls in my life, two daughters, and I pray every day that they'll have hearts for the things of the Lord. And one's grown and one's on the way. And I believe, listen, I'm their husband, father, son, very prejudiced. This is not an unbiased. I think those five girls are going to be okay. I think they're going to be virtuous women. I think a guy for my two daughters, I think a guy would do well to find one of those if they live through it. But I want you to know that God does not set a standard that cannot be attained. Amen. Proverbs 31 is not a description of something that can't happen. Every one of us should desire to be our best for the Lord. And I believe in this room, we are surrounded by some incredible females in our lives. And guys, if you're not thankful for them, shame on you, shame on me. Amen. Let's just admit that without them, we would be pathetic. And I'm not kidding. I don't ever want to be without them in my life. God controls all of that. Let's thank God for moms. Thank God most of all for Jesus Christ being the center of homes. And I'm telling you, if I've described something at all that you're interested in, the first place to start is making sure he's in your heart. Jesus is your Savior. He's forgiven your sins. You got a home in heaven, and you got all eternity to live with that woman that you love if she knows the Lord too. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning. It's a message with a lot of points and a lot of things, and we walk away not knowing exactly what we're supposed to think other than godly homes make a difference. Godly marriages make a difference. Women in our lives make a difference. You said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and you created a woman. And we love that you did that. We want to say thank you. And then as men, we'd never be what we are without the women in our lives. We try to act tough and strong, and the reality of it is we know that, and we've said we'd be pathetic without them. Thank you for your plan. Lord, the Bible starts with a marriage and it ends with a marriage. That's not a mistake. It's how you planned it. Lord, I know there are those that are hurting here today because Mother's Day reminds them of a tough time in their life for one reason or another. There was a lot of years I could not preach on Proverbs 31. You know that that text is on my wife's grave. It's hard. But I thank you for how you've blessed me. I thank you for how you've blessed the men in this church. And I pray that not just on Mother's Day, but every day, we thank God for what you've done for us. Lord, most of all, I pray every person here knows you as their personal Savior. And if not, they would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. If nothing else, maybe guys ought to just get out, come down, thank God for their wife, their mom, their daughters. But however you've spoken to us, Lord, lead us. I'll go out back and get ready to baptize, but you're in control of the altar. You always have been. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name.